Marty Lurie here, KNBR 680. Nice to have you with us. Giants baseball coming up. Joined by Theo Fightmaster. Fans, if you know Northern California, you know of the Sonoma Stompers. He's the general manager, owner. I don't know what else he does, but he's done a lot of running this organization, and it's a beautiful place to see baseball, independent baseball up here in Sonoma. Theo, nice to have you on the show.
Pleasure to be here, Marty. Thank you for having me.
So tell us about the Sonoma Stompers. Now, last year I went to a game in San Rafael. I saw the Pacifics play. I saw the computer umpire that day. Eric Burns was there, and frankly, I liked it. And they played against Aaron Miles' team. I think it was from Antioch or Pittsburgh. I forget where. But this is an interesting league. It's a beautiful day. Small-town baseball. It's the heart of American baseball. It's been that way for 130 years. What's it like up here?
It's really spectacular. I mean, we're sitting here, we're looking over the low-slung hills of Sonoma in the middle of wine country. We've got our players running sprints, getting ready for a game here tonight against San Rafael. We're off to a great start. We're 18-5. We're not getting too excited, though. Baseball, as you know, Marty, is a game of regressing to the mean, so we've got a little bit of regression probably due our way. But independent baseball is just... I've been a part of it for 6 years, and it's just so pure.
What's the name of the league? First of all, give us a little background on the league.
Sure. This is the Pacific Association of Professional Baseball Clubs, and it was formally founded in 2013. It's the latest incarnation of what some of your listeners may remember, the Sonoma County Crushers or the Chico Heat, who played in the Western Baseball League that was then the North American Baseball League and had a few different incarnations. And the league's gone through a lot of ups and downs, and we've been at four very strong teams for a few years now. Next year, we're excited to announce a gentleman by the name of Bruce Johnston is invested, and we'll launch a team in Napa, so there's a great rivalry there. But we've got four teams, ourselves here in Sonoma, the defending league champions, San Rafael, our arch rivals, Aaron Miles' Pittsburgh Diamonds, and the Vallejo Admirals, and then next year the Napa Silverados, and ideally a sixth team as well. So it's good baseball, and in the 6 or 7 years I've been around, I've really seen it get better and better. We get more scouts out here regularly. We get more attention from major league teams. In 3 seasons, we've had 3 players signed by MLB teams and go into affiliate baseball, and it's good baseball, but it's fun family entertainment, and it's highly affordable, too.
Well, Theo Fightmaster with us, GM. I think I made him an owner, but maybe just the GM of the team up here. But it's what baseball has always been. It's, as I say, the heartland of baseball. Every little town had a team. All the entertainment in between innings, and I've done interviews with people from the 40s, and they've talked about racing a horse across the outfield and the cow milking contest and everything else. And that's the essence of baseball in a small town. And we are here in Sonoma, and that's what it's all about. But you even have a bigger social experiment going on here, which I'm not sure everybody knows about, that I'm learning about now, which is a tremendous time here for your league and for your team and for the town. And I've done a lot of history about Jackie Robinson and how people in the early 1900s became involved with baseball and different immigrant groups and everything else. But you've got quite an experiment going on here. Tell us about it.
It goes back to an email that it goes back to Eric Burns, who you mentioned playing in San Rafael. And Eric was playing for the Pacifics, and a baseball writer named Sam Miller from Baseball Prospectus was there watching him. Well, my AGM at the time, Tim Livingston, sent Sam an email and said, come watch the Stompers play. We're in Sonoma. He comes up. He follows me for a day. What's the life of a indie ball GM like for a day? And that unravels into this whole experiment that him and his writing partner, Ben Lindbergh, were dreaming of for years and years, which is to kind of take over baseball operations and implement sort of these analytically driven concepts, you know, defensive shifts, and do all this stuff in really a playground or a sandbox that doesn't have it. Well, one of the initiatives that Ben and Sam brought to us was identifying players, college players, via a spreadsheet. And one of the players we found was Sean Conroy, who we signed and had a great year. And while he was here, we learned that he was the first openly gay professional baseball player in the history of the sport. And he was fantastic for us in 2015 and a big reason we had so much success. And that put us on the map a little bit from a, not just baseball, but sort of a social awareness point of view. The Hall of Fame recognized Sean and his accomplishments. Billy Bean, the MLB ambassador, not the Oakland A's GM, but the other one, was giving us a call and applauding us for the work that we were doing. Now, that work was happened very organically. We didn't seek out Sean for any other reason that we thought he'd be good at baseball. But a guy named Francis Ford Coppola learned about that, saw us doing that, and he said, well, I've got an idea. I've always wanted to see women on the team. And so, we went up and had lunch with Francis, and, I think that there should be more women playing baseball. And we were fortunate enough to get, with the support of Francis and Virginia Dare Winery, to spend a little bit of money scouting the country and looking for female baseball players. And we found Kelsey Whitmore, Stacy Piogno, and they're both very accomplished, talented ball players. And it is a bit of a social experiment when you put men and women in the same clubhouse, but what we've seen is it's been fantastic. We've been winning ball games. You see Kelsey right now. She's out here running her sprints, doing her pregame work, getting ready for the night. This is not a pure PR standpoint. Otherwise, they'd be in the lineup every single night. They're earning playing time, they're earning opportunity, and they're in a master's class of professional baseball. And we're showing young people of both genders, of all genders, that this game has room in it for everyone.
What about these women attracted you as a baseball scout, which obviously you know the game quite well. What was it about them?
Well, I would say that the if we're looking for male players, there's tens of thousands, right? There's far more professional baseball players than there are roster spots. But when you try to find specifically a female ball player, that pool is literally about a dozen of women that are available, talented enough, interested enough, and have the sort of the composure and the professionalism to handle this sort of opportunity. So the first person I reached out to was a woman by the name of Justine Siegel, who has an organization called Baseball for All, and it's a women's and girls baseball league so that they can play baseball as opposed to softball. And she gave me about five names of girls that she thought would be worth taking a look at. And the first name on the list was Kelsey Whitmore. So we went down to Joe Castellano and I went down to Temecula, California, and we watched Kelsey play in a high school varsity game. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm flying down to see a 17-year-old girl play baseball. And it was immediately clear to me that while she was going to have some challenges and while that we were going to be asking a whole lot of her to try to be the person who sort of integrates baseball at the professional level, that she could handle it from a... she was a ball player. That's in her DNA. So I watched a few innings, and she was starting in left field that night. I noticed there was a runner on second base. There's a base hit through the hole, and the third base coach holds up the runner. It was a small little infielder. I think, and that's a base. That's a RBI. Well, this opposing coach had enough respect for Kelsey's arm that he put up the stop sign, and she fired what would have been a perfect one hop strike right to home. And I'm like, all right, well, she can throw a baseball. We saw her take a couple at bats and actually wore one in the ribs and was spitting up blood at first base and refusing to come out of the game. And I'm like, all right, I have no question about that person taking on this opportunity. I can't predict her level of success or if her ability is going to catch up to this jump and play, but Kelsey's going to fit in just fine on a baseball team at any level.
Boy, what a great story. Great story. You know, it reminds me, of course, the Jackie Robinson story and, you know, people just getting a chance. And I guess the issue is a woman in baseball, you have a clubhouse, you got a team of men playing baseball as well. How has it worked out in the clubhouse and all that kind of, you know, the big challenge?
You know, I think we all anticipate these things being incredibly complex and difficult to overcome. But when it's all said and done, men and women are able to work together in just about every profession there is. And sure, there's, you know, yeah, people change in a locker room, but they're also at their job. They're here to work. These guys are here. These men and women are here to get better at baseball and to pursue their dreams. They're not here. It's not a nightclub. They're here to play this game and to work. And there's, it's been actually really cool to see the culture develop within our organization. And I think it's given us a little bit of an advantage and more of a family, sort of a, you know, it's a sorority, as I like to call it, a fraternity and a sorority. You see what I did there? You know, we're going to team parties and Kelsey's playing the piano and Mike Jackson Jr., whose dad pitched for the Giants for many years, is they're singing John Legend songs and Stacy's braiding guys' hair and giving them cornrows and things that you just wouldn't see in a clubhouse without that combination of men and women together. And I really think it's been something that I give the guys a lot of credit. I give Stacy and Kelsey absolutely a ton of credit. And I give our manager, Takashi Miyoshi, who's a Japanese-born manager here in America, I give him a world of credit for kind of walking this fine line and balancing these different interests and keeping this group of people heading in a positive direction, winning games, playing well, and being a team truly.
Well, great story. We're sitting here talking about the Sonoma Stompers. Theo Fightmaster is with us, GM of this organization, and a great story of having two women on the team and a great social experiment that's working out really well. And I like to hear the story. I love baseball stories, and that's a good one. How have the fans responded to this?
Overwhelmingly positive. I think the one thing we're trying to, it might be hard to understand, is that we're trying to do this with as much integrity as possible. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to say, okay, hey, Stacy's pitching on this night, come out and buy your tickets. You know, Stacy's, we tried her as a starter last year. We pitched her, we started her in a game on the road in Vallejo. There's no revenue sharing in this league, right? There's no sharing of gates. It was something that we thought, you know, we were trying to strategy to have her pitch through the inning once and then bring in Gregory Paulino, who's throwing 93, and see what we could, kind of competitive advantage we could gain. So, you know, I think we know who they are as ballplayers, and we're trying to find situations where they can succeed. And that's the manager's job with everyone on the roster, is put them into roles where they can succeed and flourish. And they have an incredible amount of pressure on them. There's an insane double standard that, you know, if you know, our center fielder Matt Hibbert goes 0-for-4 with four strikeouts, get him tomorrow. If Kelsey swings and misses on three pitches, she's not good enough to be here. And so, to a degree, we're trying to give opportunity while also not overexposing them and putting them in situations where they can't succeed. So I think the fans, most of them understand that. A lot of them just do kind of want to see something because it's historical, it's unique, it's fun to watch. And, you know, the same thing with Sean in 2015. If we were trying to sell more tickets, we would have said, Sean's a starter and you're pitching only on home games. Yeah. But he was better for us as a kind of a fireman, as a relief pitcher. And I think I give credit to Yoshi for, you know, managing this and the organization of, like, let's do what's best for the team, not necessarily what's best for the ticket booth.
Well, great story. Love the story. Theo Fightmaster telling the story about his Sonoma Stompers up here. Do you foresee a time when women would be in organized baseball? And if so, and I had this question asked of me recently, and I thought maybe as a pinch runner, you can get a world-class sprinter who understood the game of baseball.
I think, you know, the first guy I emailed actually was Chris Carminucci, who's the independent league scout for the Diamondbacks. And I had asked Chris, after we met with Francis, you know, have you in your travels come across any talented female ball players? And he said, you know, the best one I've seen is Melissa Mayu in France, who's gotten a lot of publicity and is very talented and looking like she's coming to New Jersey on a softball scholarship. But, you know, he said, in my lifetime, I believe that we will see a female in the major leagues. And having that sort of validation from a major league scout was very comforting to me. And his opinion and a lot of people's opinion is it will happen in the next, you know, in many of our lifetimes, the next generation or so, whether it's a left-handed specialist with a knuckleball, who knows, a pinch runner, maybe a If you ask me about the Pacific Association, I can tell you who the fast guys are, like Darian Sanford, but I'm forgetting who that kid the Royals had a couple of years ago that was the designated base stealer in 2014. Gerard Dyson? No, it was the guy who he was much more of like a very much a role player. Brock, was it?
I forget. I know.
Anyway, so if that's the category we've talked about, a lot of people think that a defensive-minded catcher who can really is excellent as a pitch framer and can mitigate a running game, they'll be allowed a little bit more deference offensively. But that's another opportunity that you could see a female ball player compete at the highest level.
Well, I think it can happen. And it's just a question of relief pitcher having control and having a special pitch, but being able to control it. And that's the key. And that's the whole thing. So, yeah, I could see it happening. The part of baseball I love up here, and you do such a good job of promoting it, and I know the town of Sonoma really appreciates it and the folks that are going to come out. You have special events. What's your special event tonight?
Well, tonight, actually, it's funny you should ask. It's Marty Lurie night. Marty, thank you for being here, first of all. And it's fun when, I know you met my parents and you and I go back a little bit just from the media side of things. But to have you come out here, this is a big spike for us, right? To have a local baseball celebrity out here. And so you're going to be out here. You're going to be meeting with fans and signing a few autographs. And we've got a nice little thank you bag for you. And I'll suggest you try the tri-tip. It's fresh from Sonoma Market. We have a couple fun events coming up. Aisha Curry is going to be out here as part of an event with Zupanoma on July 18th. Tickets are still available there. Vernon Davis is going to be out that week as well, who's a Crave ambassador. Crave is Jerky, one of our great sponsors. And we've got a couple other things up our sleeves that we're not quite ready to pin down. But, of course, next week, 4th of July, it's baseball, it's America. We're in Sonoma. There's a world-famous fireworks show. Come out to the game. It starts at 5:30. Hang out on the field afterwards. Grab a beer and watch the fireworks from center field. And even though I have to be working, it's one of my favorite days of the year.
Well, this is what baseball is all about. On the level here or the major leagues, it's all marketing and creating entertainment. You like to win. But I see it at AT&T Park. It's entertainment. People want to come out and be entertained. I'm amazed. I walk around that park during a game. Half the park is walking around with me doing other things other than watching the game. So baseball is entertainment, and you do it really well here, and it's nice to have you on the show. And thank you for inviting me up. It's a gorgeous night in Sonoma.
Thank you, Marty. So glad you could be here.
All right. Theo Fight Master right here, GM of the Sonoma Stompers. More coming up. KMBR 680, the sports leader.